I know that Arctic development has been a big interest of yours. You co-chair the Alaska Arctic Policy Commission, which has been putting together an Arctic strategy for the state. I just wanted to ask, what ideas have you been bringing in from our district, that's Western Alaska, to that process?
Well, it's in this dialogue, obviously we can't separate the water from the land in Alaska, and we can't separate the southern part of our state from the northern and western parts. But the federal government is using the Arctic definition of the Porcupine Line, Porcupine River, down the Yukon, down the Kuskokwim, along the coast to the end of the chain. That is their focus to all the federal agencies. But it doesn't mean that we're not thinking about the rest of the state, because we just can't disconnect ourselves. And so in our preliminary report, we have four visions, is that we will value communities. We will value community stability and sustainability, and we want a thriving culture. Basically, we want to place people as number one in the Arctic.
You and your co-chair on the commission, you know, Liesl McGuire, have both introduced legislation, I think, to kind of put that strategy into play. I just wanted to ask if you could describe that legislation for us.
There's a three-prong approach here. I just grabbed my notes. There's House Bill 288. And a companion bill, Senate Bill 140. And we want to create a fund that leverages private money for Arctic infrastructure by the state financing up to a third of the well-vetted projects. And then there's House Bill 165, and the Senate companion is 154, is creating an Alaska Arctic Port and Development Authority to help depoliticize where these ports will go. Because you could have a very strong region, the state, that could just muscle their way in politically and place a port where that region deems most important to them. But we want to have a holistic view. And then finally, is House Joint Resolution 24. It's about the Arctic Council.
It's a pretty wide-ranging package, and you know, I know there's been a lot of discussion about the placement of an Arctic port in the state. You know, at the same time, Unalaska's been lobbying for consideration as an Arctic port, you know, pre-existing. Do you think of it that way?
Absolutely. They're in the chain. They're part of the Arctic. They're in a strategic location. Of course, some years it'll be difficult to get to even close to the Bering Strait from during certain parts of the year. And so on Alaska, just by history and just by location, they will be a part of a port infrastructure that spans from the Canadian border past Barrow all the way out to ADAC.
Yeah, and I just wanted to ask, you know, with those kind of pre-existing resources in place and plans to expand them, how can we justify building a new Arctic port, especially while money is really tight for the state?
Well, that's the $64,000 question. It has to be holistic, and it has to have a long range view of the situation. So we're going to have traffic that goes through Unimac and then down over the Great Circle Route. Most likely, that's in a short few years, that traffic is going to increase. Then the Northern Sea Route, there's going to be traffic coming across the top of Russia. Not only do we need the current ports that have the capacity for response, whether it's oil spill or accidents, like Unalaska has proven it can do in a heartbeat, but we need to start thinking about where those other places are going to be on shipping, places that can be responded from. And then we'll need ports for resource extraction. And so the current assets and the assets that are proposed, tons of money. So that's why we introduced this idea of having ADA be able to leverage with private sector. And maybe we can attract that money from people that have money to invest.
Will that any of that funding go toward Unalaska or ADAC support infrastructure to help out with Trans-Pacific transportation or risk mitigation in those areas?
You just listed all the reasons why there has to be investment in it. You know, last time I was out there visiting with you, I mean, obviously on the radio, there's another one that lost its power, and all the response assets had to focus on that. So it's not going to go down. We have so many things, so many opportunities coming at us. We should maximize those benefits. But at the same time, we have to be prepared to react and minimize all the risks associated.